This story is an excerpt from the blog called Urban Confessional, and the piece is entitled How to Listen When You Disagree, a Lesson from the Republican National Convention. It's by Benjamin Mathis. She was just staring at me. She had something to say, and I could tell she was curious about the free listening sign I was holding up, but she didn't have the courage to speak to me yet. So I waited, nowhere to be and all day to get there. Finally, she walked up, and like a young warrior preparing for battle, she said, I don't usually do this, and I know it isn't a hot-button topic anymore, but I think abortion is wrong. It's not a form of birth control, and people who have them should be arrested for murder. Let's face it, he writes, it's loud out there. It seems like everyone has something to say and somewhere to say it. Our Facebook feeds are littered with articles, posts, and images from all types of people. For some of us, this is difficult to handle, so we edit out the ones we disagree with until our feed looks more like an echo board of our own thoughts. If we're not careful, we'll treat people this way, editing out the ones we disagree with until we're surrounded by people who are just like us. Then we wonder why we're so divided. I know what you're thinking, though. It's my feed. I'll block who I want. I shouldn't have to be offended. I don't have time for that. Life is too short. I only want to see what I want to see. If we're not careful, we'll treat people this way. Then wonder why we're so divided. He continues, when someone has a point of view we find difficult to understand, disagreeable, or even offensive, we must look to the set of circumstances that person has experienced that resulted in that point of view. Get their story, their biography, and you'll open up the real possibility of an understanding that transcends disagreement. Like the roots of a tree, our stories, which can create our beliefs, are completely unique and also connected. It is through story that we can find common ground enough to coexist in the face of great and often necessary tension. When you find yourself in disagreement, just ask one question. Will you tell me your story? I'd love to know how you came to this point of view. He goes on, as she spoke to me about her beliefs on abortion, I wanted to stop her and tell her my story. I've sat with two loved ones as they suffered through the difficult decision and consequences of ending a pregnancy. It was a brutal human experience, and it gave me an insight to something I never expected to witness. In moments like that, choice doesn't seem the right word. So when she told me they should be arrested for terminating a pregnancy, the familiar burn of disagreement started to fire in me. There were so many things I wanted to say. I wanted to change her mind, to argue, to disagree. It's a natural response. But if my story brought me to my beliefs, then I needed to know how her story brought her to her beliefs. So I asked, "Thank you for sharing that. Tell me your story. I'd love to learn how you came to this point of view." She seemed surprised by my interest. "Why? It doesn't matter. Your sign said free listening, so I gave you something to listen to." "Give me more to listen to." "They should be locked up. It's wrong. It's not right to go out and sleep with whoever, then vacuum away the result like it never happened." She paused, then inhaled the whole world. "And it's not fair. All I've ever wanted is to be a mom. My whole life I knew I was meant to have children, and then when I was 18, the doctor told me I'd never have children. My ovaries are damaged or missing, it doesn't matter which. I kept it a secret, and when my husband found out, he left me. I'm alone, my body doesn't work. I'm old. Who will ever love me?" I wondered if she could hear my heart breaking. "So I guess when I get upset when I see people who can get pregnant, who can have kids, whose bodies work, and they just choose not to. Sometimes there's nothing to disagree with. I didn't need to be right. I just needed to be there. She wiped away a few tears, gave me a hug, and thanked me for listening. She exhaled and walked back into the RNC circus. Maybe one day she'll hear my story, but today it was my turn to hear hers. I hope she felt loved. In his book, Healing the Heart of Democracy, the Quaker educator and activist Parker Palmer explores what it might take for Americans to come back to a politics that relies on interdependence and trust and civil discourse. Note that he published this book in 2011. Palmer writes that American citizens need, quote, chutzpah and humility in responding to today's political climate. Chutzpah meaning, quote, knowing I have a voice that needs to be heard and the right to speak it. And humility meaning, quote, accepting the fact that my truth is always partial and may not to be true at all. So I need to listen with openness and respect, especially to the other, as much as I need to speak my own voice with clarity and conviction. This was one of the foundational ideas of a workshop entitled Liberating the Voice of Courage that I got to attend with Parker and his Center for Courage and Renewal this past summer. In preparation for liberating our voices with chutzpah and humility, we first focused on learning to hear our voices, to listen to them. We met in what was called circles of trust, in which we were asked to share personal stories with small group partners, with the goal of discerning something important about the next steps in some parts of our lives. So in these circles, we were asked to agree to a set of ground rules to define clear boundaries on our relationships and to try to create safe space for this sharing, what we in this congregation have sometimes called a covenant, especially in our small group ministries, and what our facilitators called touchstones. Some of the touchstones were to give and receive welcome, to be as present as possible, to speak our truth in ways that respect others' truths, to trust and learn from silence, to observe deep confidentiality, and the one that most caught my attention, when the going gets rough, turn to wonder. This is an instruction to turn from reaction and judgment to wonder and compassionate inquiry, to ask ourselves, I wonder why they feel or think this way, or I wonder what my reaction teaches me about myself. To set aside judgment to listen to others and to ourselves more deeply. This can be counterintuitive. We listen most often in our conversations for the thing to which we will respond. And when we find something to respond to, I should say I, when I find something to respond to, I tend to tune out listening so I can start to form that response. Do you know what I mean? This wanting to move ahead as our conversation partner speaks to the part where we get to tell them what we think. So it can be hard to practice listening. Those of you who were in covenant groups last year know this because I asked you to do it. Many of you pushed back against that idea because you thought that back and forth conversation was the way to get to know each other. But deep listening requires of us that we hold on to our responses to focus fully on what the other person is saying. And that gives them the time to actually think while they're speaking. And then their speaking turns into processing out loud with other people in the room to simply witness. It lets us hear our ideas into being. And when we don't agree with what our conversation partners say, we are asked in this model of deep listening that Parker created to turn to wonder. This idea resonates pretty strongly with the UU principle about every person having inherent worth and dignity, I think. But here's the catch. I tend to bring up that principle much more in reference to the oppressed than to the oppressor. It's one of the reasons I do justice work. People who are marginalized have inherent worth and dignity, so they are deserving of the work I do toward their liberation and therefore toward mine. But what about people with whom we can't do this? How do we turn to wonder when we're talking with people who would maintain the status quo of racism or of patriarchy or of class division? How do we listen to ideas? How do we listen ideas into being for people when they embrace ideas we think are wrong or divisive or even harmful? And sometimes, never mind how, I even wonder if we should, if it's worth the emotional energy. And then I think that maybe everything good in our collective future might just rest on our ability to do this. I think that it's up to the people who can do it to model it, because the people who can't are becoming ever louder and scarier. I think that this is one of the ways we move toward a more civil society. I think this is one of the ways we move love into the world. And so here's an example of turning to wonder in another context of deep division, like our first story. David Wong is the executive editor of a website called Cracked, which posts blogs on current events. He wrote a piece a couple of days ago called How Half of America Lost Its Effing Mind. From the pulpit. Which is it's actually one of the best attempts I've seen to get at why people might support a political candidate whose words and actions might not be reflective of the values of Wong's readers. Wong begins by laying out some of the differences between rural and urban cultures, and his article is about largely this difference. And he helps me understand how it might be possible for people living in very different situations from mine might think about who they support. Please note that using this example is in no way an endorsement of any political candidate on my part, which is why I have removed names and references to their parties. Wong writes, and this is a huge article, and I really suggest you go home and Google it, How Half of America Lost Its Effing Mind. But in very small part, Wong writes, the rural folk with the supportive signs in their yards say their way of life is dying. And you smirk and say what they really mean is that blacks and gays are finally getting equal rights and they hate it. But I'm telling you, they say their way of life is dying because their way of life is dying. It's not their imagination. No movie about the future portrays it as being full of traditional families and hunters and coal mines, well, except for Hunger Games, and that was depicted as an apocalypse. So yes, they vote for the person promising to put things back the way they were, the person who'd be a wake-up call to the others. It's a vote of desperation. I find this article really important because I find it so easy to find the inherent worth and dignity of the oppressed. And I admit to a tendency to villainize those who I consider to embrace the values of the oppressor. Instead of villainizing, Wong turns to wonder and sees something I might otherwise miss, humanity in the other. So I want to invite you into this practice right now. Feel free to opt out, which means sitting in silence for 2 minutes if you choose to opt out. If you do not choose to opt out, I'm going to ask you to turn to a neighbor in just a moment and respond to them to a question I'm going to ask. And when you are not the person responding, I want you to keep your mouth closed and listen. Your response might not be an answer, right? You might not have the answer to this question. It might just be an out loud musing about the question. And so I'll ask you to speak one at a time, listen fully to what your partner says, and I will give each of you 1 minute. So this is just a little taste of practice, right? I'll give each of you 1 minute. So the first person to speak will begin when I sound the chime. And I'll sound it again in a minute when you will wrap up and switch. So the question is, what is the most important value you hold? And what is the story, the 1 minute story behind it? Okay. I'll give you a second to think. The most important value you hold and a little piece of the story behind it. Go. Thank you, my friends. I invite you to continue these conversations during coffee hour, if you choose to. And I invite you to practice this again during the week. Have a conversation with somebody you don't agree with. Maybe even someone of a different political persuasion. When you do, try to stop yourself from trying to change their opinion. Ask them, will you tell me your story? I'd love to hear how you came to this point of view. And then listen deep inside you for when you want to steer the conversation so that you can win. And when you get to that place, stop and listen instead. Ask yourself why you're reacting the way you are. Think about what you might learn about yourself from that reaction. And ask yourself why you think they feel the way they do. This practice of wondering can lead us into wonder, into an appreciation for the other that we might not otherwise gain. May it be so, and may we be so.